Father, this morning, we invite illumination of our minds, your Holy Spirit to come, share with us understanding from your word, that we might understand why there's history at all, and how we play a part in present history and look forward to making history in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me be so bold as to say that there is another way of looking at history than through the pessimistic eyes of our modern philosophy and basically an ignorant world. When we look at history through the pages of Scripture, we see a chain of events that not only makes sense out of a history past, but we see ourselves fulfilling predicted history today in the 1990s. And believe it or not, we have a door that is open through Scripture that even tells us the history that has not yet been acted out. That's pretty sharp. We don't need crystal balls as Christians. We don't need the New Age philosophy or human reason or wisdom that man has, for we have the unerring Word of God itself. I love the way one Christian writer put it. Reading from a little book called Education, page 173, I read the following words. In the annals of human history, the growth of nations, the rise and fall of empires, appear as dependent on the will and prowess of man. It appears that man is in charge. The shaping of events seems to a great degree to be determined by his power, his ambition, or his caprice. But, note the little conjunction. But, in the Word of God, the curtain is drawn aside and we behold behind, above, and through all the play and counterplay of human interest and power and passions, the agencies of the All-Merciful One, silently, patiently, working out the counsels of His own will. End quote. Do you like that? So even though man thinks he's in charge, in reality he's only in charge because God let him be in charge. Beloved, in short, I'm simply saying that we have a God who is our supreme ruler. He sits enthroned above all the universe, and it's by His hand that kings are set up and nations come down. Daniel the prophet wrote about this God who rules the universe. We can take a look at it in Daniel chapter 2, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn there. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Daniel talks about the God who sets up kings and takes down kingdoms. Verse 19, chapter 2 of Daniel, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. The what revealed? It's a key word. The secret was revealed unto Daniel. In a night vision. Is it usually dark at night? Yeah, unless you're way up in Alaska somewhere, right? It's usually dark at night. And in the darkness of night, God revealed His secret to His servant Daniel. Just kind of keep that in mind. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, verse 19 and now 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Do you want to know about history? Then go to the one that wrote it, the one that writes it, and the one that already knows where it's headed. Verse 21. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. The deep things. Would you like to know some deep things of God? That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? To know some deep things. How about the secret things of God? Would you like to know some secret things of God? Now Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong unto God. But those things which have been revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. But what about if God wants to give us some secret things? Is that all right? Hello? Is that all right? Yeah, all right, all right. See, the secret things belong unto God. They're His. But if He wants to give some of them to us, isn't it all right to get them and to receive them? Yes. You see, He also gives His secret things to His servants, the prophets. So So not everything that belongs to God that's secret does He hold to Himself, because He loves like a father to give good gifts to His kids. See, Christmas is only secret until after the package is opened, right? And what parent doesn't love to watch the smile on the child's face as it unwraps that package? Do you think that God is any less excited about giving us some of His deep, dark secrets? Of course not. He loves for us to probe into the universe with our mere telescope. He loves for us to see what He has seen for billions of years. He loves for us to take a look at His bigness out there. And He loves for us to go into the lab and look into our microscopes and our electron microscopes and to see the minutest things. He loves for us to do that because we can discover the hand of God. They're secrets until He reveals them to us. What a God. Verse 22 again, He revealed the deep. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. And the light dwelleth in Him. It seems like God works in darkness. Have you ever been in the dark? Now, you know what I mean by that? Not when the light's shut off. But I'm talking about if there's no light in the attic. That's what I'm talking about. Up here. Have you ever been in the dark? And we even use the phrase, don't we, sometimes? You know, he has a darkened mind. He doesn't get it. It's dark upstairs. All right? No light in the attic. Now you know what I'm talking about up here, all right? And Ford even had a better idea. What'd they have? A light bulb, right? You remember that old advertisement they had? A bright idea. Something dawns on us. God sometimes works in the darkness to bring His light of illumination. Sometimes He works in darkened minds to bring light that they might behold the secrets of God. Have you ever in darkness suddenly seen a ray of light come piercing through, and suddenly you got a bright idea and realized that it came from above? Yeah. Daniel had an idea too, the game to him one dark night. God revealed a deep, dark secret to him, and his mind was illuminated thereby. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. And you remember the story. This same God that revealeth His secrets to Daniel, I'm suggesting this morning, way back there 600 years before Christ, is willing to reveal His secrets to us even in our generation. Because as we learned last week, Jesus is the I Am of Scripture and of history. The I Am is always present. He's been present for every generation from Adam's day to Daniel's day to your day and to the days beyond us. God is always present. He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be the same even tomorrow. There is something, however, that we need to understand about this God. He doesn't just write His secrets in the sky for everybody to read. They're not just given to everybody. According to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, the prophets. Now, that has a very specific connotation, but in its looser reading, we have discovered in some of our past studies together that a prophet is simply one who reveals the will of God. That means that every one of us here today are potential basic prophets. Okay? That would be a primary or secondary prophet. You remember way, way, way back when we tucked some things into your attic file? Secondary prophets, good for you. Yes, we can be, by God's grace, secondary prophets, those who are revealing the will of God to others. And God wants to reveal, I'm suggesting this morning, even special secrets to His servants, the prophets of this church. Secrets to His servants, an implied condition. Are we willing to serve God with the secrets that He entrusts us with? Or are we going to hoard them to to ourselves. You see, if Johnny doesn't share his little red fire truck that was given to him on a special event and a special occasion by a special person, there may not be another fire truck next year. And you can just have the same old fire truck again next year. I wonder why my mom did that to me. She used to paint up the old fire truck because in a year's time, you know, some wheels were missing, the little lights were gone, and it had been scratched up because it had been to many fires. In fact, Willie, I think, even built a fire under it just once or twice. And because of his abuse and the way in which he treated some of those toys, he learned that what goes around comes around. Same old fire truck next year. Been painted and another light on top, different light. One of Mom's inventions. Where are we going with this? Beloved, God sometimes will entrust us with His secrets and with His gifts in hopes that we will reveal it to others and share it with others as a prophet, as one who gives to others. But if we hoard it, if we keep it and say, oh my, I'm so glad I know this truth and refuse to give it, it very well could be we will not get another truth. Have we been sharing what we know? If we haven't, perhaps we haven't been learning much lately beyond what we already know. And you know, there's a problem in Laodicea because Laodicea seems to be quite complacent, quite satisfied with what we know, as though there's nothing else to learn. After all, we know the 27 fundamental beliefs. We've got it together. We have all of it up in our attic. Trouble is, the light's gone out. And we're in darkness. With all the knowledge there. Well, Daniel, bless his heart, received a little light on the subject. And he understood some things that he hadn't known before. And Daniel was a good Jewish boy. He had been brought up in a good Jewish home, and he knew all the right things and the right ways to do things. Even his diet, he took care of himself. Did everything just right. But God still revealed new things to Daniel that Daniel had never seen before. Beloved, is God wanting to reveal to you and me bigger things and better things and secrets that we don't even know as a people yet? Well, it doesn't hurt us to think about it, does it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing His secrets to His servants, the prophets. If you are a potential prophet and you want to have His secret that you might be His servant, then, beloved, He might reveal something to you and me yet before He comes. In order for us to understand these secrets that I'm talking about that have been written by the prophets, may I suggest that we must do what Paul told Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2 and verse 15. It's a familiar passage to you. He said we must study. You remember that? To show ourselves approved. Listen to how this particular version of the Amplified Bible renders that statement. We must study and be eager to do our utmost to present ourselves to God approved. Boy, now there's a condition, isn't it? There's a condition. If we will be eager to do our utmost to present ourselves to God approved as a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing or rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth, then God will reveal His secrets to us. Implied truth here. Profound. You see, we need to study and be eager to apply our hearts unto the wisdom that God is revealing to us. See, there are a lot of people that read the Bible, but read it from a mindset that they don't believe it to begin with. And they want to find error in it. And they want to find arguments out of it. And guess what? That's exactly what they find. And they throw it away and say, there's nothing to it. It's discrepancies. It doesn't harmonize. It doesn't make sense. Sure it doesn't. Not to their mind. Because it doesn't fit their mind. They aren't willing to apply their hearts unto wisdom. And so, consequently, it's just a lot of dysfunctional stories with no relationship. Some good, some bad, and they don't understand it. But Paul tells Timothy that if we will study with an eager desire to do our utmost, to present ourselves to God approved and as workmen who have no cause to be ashamed, in other words, we're living up to all the light that He has already given, then He will reveal additional truth and additional secrets to us that we might skillfully teach those to others. In other words, we dare not come to God, is what I'm saying this morning, with an attitude of arrogance, as though we are going to sit in judgment as to what is truth. Nor do we dare come with a lazy attitude, expecting to find truth just lying there on top of the surface. And we do that quite often, don't we? We read our morning watch, like so many words on a page, close it up and go about our daily work, and wonder why God didn't follow me through the day. He was following me with all the blessings in His train. He had them all, but we got ahead of Him. We closed the book without understanding, without claiming the promises, and we took off, and God stood there with all the blessings ready to give them, but we weren't there to receive them. And He was just ready to pour them out. And as He was pouring them out, we took off, and they all fell on the floor. So He had to gather them all up again and then run after us. By the end of the day, He's just about caught up with us. And we said, "Where were you, Lord? You just weren't around. This morning I read something out of that book you gave and I didn't get any blessing." You didn't stay around long enough to get it. Right? Seek and ye shall find. See? Study to show yourself approved unto God. It doesn't just lie on the surface. We can't be lazy in our attitude in studying the Word of God and expect to get something out of it. If we are to discover divine truths at all, we must dig for them, and when we find them, we must be willing to put our lives in harmony with that which God reveals. Amen? Now, anyone can read Scripture and compare it with history and see that God has fulfilled His promises to the prophets. Anybody can do that. For He warned Noah of the coming flood, and it happened. He warned Abraham and Lot of the future destruction of Sodom, and it happened. Joseph of the 7-year famine, and it happened. Moses of the 10 plagues on Egypt, it happened. Jonah of the destruction of Nineveh, and it was postponed. And later, after they did fall back into apostasy, it was carried out under Nahum's warnings. Amos was also told about the downfall of Syria, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, Judah, and Israel. Even Christ's personal coming to this earth was foretold throughout the entire Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. And all of it happened just as He told His prophets it would. And these facts can be easily discovered. You don't even have to be religious to see it. It's there. But, here's another one of these buts. The deeper secrets are not there on the surface. You cannot find those great secrets of God's Word just by an overview of biblical history. Today, the supreme ruler of all, the great creator of all, the infinite God of the universe, the all-powerful God, the judge of all the earth, wants to communicate with you and me on a far deeper level. He wants to share His secrets with those who are willing to take time for serious Bible study and prayer. That's why He comes to the Sabbath school worship, to meet with His people, that He might teach us in the schooling of how to claim His promises and to understand His Word. From our study this week of our Lord Most High, we were given a memory text. It was read to us this morning by Elder Posse. In fact, he read it in two languages so that no one in here today should have missed the point. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Let's take a look at it again, especially verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. It's a familiar passage to all of us as Christians. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall" what? All right, let's read it together. Psalm 91, verse 1, reading together. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, that just has a nice King James Version ring, doesn't it? Sort of like a nice ring you'd just like to kind of put over your heart and walk through the day and just sort of prayer wheel this little verse with you. It's a beautiful verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That sounds good. What does it mean? I don't know. I don't have a clue, but it sure sounds good. Oh, you do have a clue. If you abide in the secret place of God, somehow you're in His shadow. What shadow? Does God have a shadow? I thought He was light. Do we dare ask questions? Or do we just surface, read over the top, and wonder, isn't that nice? And then we have real trials in our life, real crises in our life. And we say, where's this God that helps me out of real problems in my real life? See, our crises in our life, beloved, are not shallow. They're deep, they're heartfelt, heart-rending. They tear at our mind, they pull relationships apart, they destroy families, they're real. Is our God any less real? You see, you can't go to Vietnam, beloved, and put band-aids on guys that have shrapnel wounds. And some of us are trying to put the band-aid of God's Word over the top of homes that are breaking apart. Can't do that. God's Word goes deep into the wound and it heals. But we have to go deep ourselves to understand it. And some of us are just applying, is what I'm saying, just a surface. And wondering, where is this God? He's just a surface God with nice poetic thoughts. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Let's pull that apart for a moment this morning. And let's take a look at it as we learned about a tool in our Sabbath school worship period this morning. You remember we were able to take a deeper look into some of these verses by using an if-then combination. You remember that? If-then. Let's take a look at it and apply our little tool that we learned this morning in phase one of our worship. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you see it there? It's implied, isn't it? If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Well, then isn't it important that we understand what it means to dwell? And isn't it also important to find out where that secret place is? How can you dwell in a place you don't even know where it is? Huh? Come on over to my house. Well, where's that? Well, it really doesn't matter. Just come on over. I mean, give me a break. Even intelligent kids can figure that one out. You can't go to somebody's house unless you know where he lives. Right? And the way we read Psalm 91:1, you can't get there from here. See, just abide and glide. That's kind of our philosophy. Until suddenly we hit something. Bang! What happened? Where's God? He's in His secret place. Oh, nobody ever told me where that was. And we wonder why we can't find Him. Where's His secret place? What does it mean to dwell? You see, beloved, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, but that takes time. You can't just hit and run with God. Can't spend 2 moments with Him in the morning expecting to be with you the other 24 hours of the day. So if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The psalmist says, if we dwell in the secret place. Now notice, there's a two-pronged condition here. I've already implied it, already stated it, but I'm going to say it again. Number one, we must dwell. And number two, we must dwell in the secret place. If we would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we need to define the biblical term here, or the terms, in order to understand a deeper meaning. Number one, let's take a look at what is this secret place and what does it mean to dwell? The word dwell means, in the Old Hebrew, one who sits, one who abides, one who remains, one who tarries, one who continues. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42 gives us a story of where this took place. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through the rest of that chapter. You remember the story. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat. S-A-T. That's that same equivalent of the old Hebrew there. Okay? Dwell. To sit. To abide. To tarry. So Mary sat, she dwelt, she abode at Jesus' feet and heard, listened to his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, let's read it together, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So abiding again, this dwelling means to simply sit and to abide, to remain, to tarry, and to continue on with God. That's why people who want to be with God will find themselves, as I already said, at Sabbath school, worship phase one. Then phase two, they'll move into a study of the Word of God and compare their understanding with others who have also studied and find application, how they can apply it during that next week for strength when they come into diverse trouble and problems. And then they'll sit through a sort of a synopsis of the whole thing at the 11 o'clock, like you're doing now, praise the Lord. Then they'll come back at the seminar tonight and they'll be feasting more than Wednesday night at normal prayer meeting. They'll be there again. Why? Because they're abiding with God. They are digging with God that they might understand the secret things of God, the deep things of God, and be prepared when their whole world crashes. Because guaranteed, beloved, Satan is out to destroy you and to kill you and to break your relationships and to divide your family. He's working. He's intent. He's serious. He doesn't slumber and sleep. But how about us? You can't get there with a quick overview of God's Word. We've got to sink the shaft deep into the soil of it is written. The word secret place means covering, shelter, hiding place. Real quickly, let me run down a couple of those thoughts. You might just want to write these little texts down on your bulletin somewhere. Psalm 18:11. David used the term secret place. He says, he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Made darkness his secret place. Is darkness the secret place of God? I would think the light should be, but perhaps in this setting, there's something about darkness is where God is. Keep that thought in mind. Psalm 119 and 114. Psalm 119 verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thy word, beloved, is the hiding place for God. The word of God is a living God. This book is the hiding place of God. It is dark to the mind of man until God comes as the light and illuminates his secrets and gives them to his servants, the prophets. You see, beloved, that's a dark book. And God hides in the darkness of the covers of that book. And he will not reveal his light and his secrets to anybody. He only reveals them to those who really want to know the truth that they might be set free. Only those who are really struggling to find answers to the problems of life will find the answers. You can read about that in Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. That's me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. And then this classic Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me. When? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. You see, nothing short of searching will find God. And yet all around us are God's tokens of his love. He showers us with his love. And yet sometimes it takes a disaster in our life, cancer in our veins, sickness in the family, divorce at the altar, death on the street, before we get serious enough to come back and dig for an answer. But God is there. In the meantime, he's telling you and me this morning, even on the shallow surface, he's saying, listen, keep your wants and your joys and your sorrows and your cares and your fears before me. Because you cannot burden me. You cannot weary me, he says. He who numbers the hairs of your head and mine is not indifferent to our wants. The Lord is pitiful and tender and full of mercy. His heart of love is touched by our sorrow and even by our utterances of them. So take to Him everything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for Him to bear, for He holds up worlds in His hands. He rules over the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for Him to notice. There's no chapter in our experience too dark for Him to read. There's no perplexity too difficult for Him to unravel. No calamity can befall the least of His children. No anxiety harass the soul. No joy, cheer, no sincere prayer escape the lips of which your Heavenly Father is unobservant or in which He takes no immediate interest. In fact, the relation between God and you is as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth to share His watch care, not another soul for whom He gave His beloved Son. Beloved, God is wooing you. He's drawing you out of darkness into light to make you His servant with secret things that you might reveal them to others. He's here today. He's touched your heart. He keeps you alive. He does everything He can to woo us, to draw us. What, beloved, are we willing to do for Him?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.